You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
Hey, everybody, I am away on a short vacation, so there isn't really an intro at the top of this week's show, but because the holidays are here, some quick final gift suggestions from all of us here at the Savage Lovecast. Give the gift of the Savage Lovecast. Go to savagelovecast.com, click on gift, and send the magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast to someone on your list who listens to the micro edition. Everyone on your list already subscribers to the magnum edition, you can send them a GGG or fuck first mug by going to savagelovecast.com and clicking on shop. itmfa.org. Everybody on your list wants to see that motherfucker impeached already? Go to itmfa.org or impeachthemotherfuckeralready.com and get them an ITMFA t-shirt, hat, mug, lapel pin, hoodie, bumper sticker at itmfa.org. And it really works. Happened to me the other day. I was wearing my ITMFA t-shirt at the gym. The woman on the treadmill next to me asked me what ITMFA stood for, and I told her, and now we are best friends. And finally, a unique gift idea. Hopefully everyone on your list is happy about the Democrats retaking the House. The blue wave, the blue tsunami, the blue quicksand. The biggest victory in a midterm election for Democrats in the House for 40 years. Well, the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, they built that victory and they went into debt to do it, which is not unusual. Consider giving the gift of helping to retire the DCCC's debt from the 2018 midterm elections. Go to dccc.org, click on donate now, and you can send a lovely card letting someone on your list know that you made a donation toward retiring that debt in their name at dccc.org. All right, coming up on today's show, on the micro edition of the Savage Lovecast, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and on the magnum subscription edition of the Savage Lovecast that you can subscribe to and gift at savagelovecast.com, Dr. James Cantor joins us to talk about robot or real doll brothels, which are coming soon to a metropolis near you. What should a woman wear? Here's an idea. How about whatever the hell she wants to wear? Visit wildfang.com for the perfect mix of fashion and feminism. Use the code SAVAGE to get 25% off your purchase at wildfang.com. Me Undies makes feel-good underpants your butt will be proud to wear and you will be proud to be seen in. They will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own. And to check it out yourself, go to meundies.com/savage. Support for today's show, support we are very grateful for, comes from Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can access all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk in your own home, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click, print, mail, and you are done. It could not be easier. And right now, use Savage for this special offer. Includes up to $55 worth of free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Do not wait. Go to stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Savage. That's stamps.com. Enter S-A-V-A-G-E.
Hey, Dan and the crew. White female from Colorado. Calling with a question for your black listeners. I just watched the film BlacKkKlansman with my white parents. I would consider it a triumph that they were even open to watching that movie because that is not their jam. They don't dip their toe into conversations or topics that are, I would even go so far as to say, thought-provoking, controversial, anything that's out of their norm, they're not going there. And so I was happy with the fact that they were even open to watching it. At one point, I mentioned the Black Lives Matter movement, and my mom gave the typical white privilege head up your ass answer, which is, what about my life? Doesn't my life matter? Or my life matters just as much as anybody else's life. And that's bullshit. I mean, everyone's life matters. Yes, of course. Duh. But that's not the point of the Black Lives Matter movement. And I did my best to explain that to her in a proactive way that wasn't just getting in a fight, because we've had enough of that in our relationship. And I'm practicing finding productive ways to connect on these topics So I wanted to ask you, what would you recommend when I hear that from a family member who I love dearly and who I don't want to fight with? You know, I don't want to meet fire with fire. I'd like to have it be productive and maybe even make a difference. So what would you recommend to me, a white woman, speaking with her white parents about the topic of the Black Lives Matter movement?
There was a shooting at a bar outside of Chicago a few weeks ago, and a security guard who was on duty, an armed security guard, a good guy with a gun, the NRA's prescription, right? We need armed security guards everywhere to stop the bad guys with guns who have guns because it's so easy to get guns. So we need more people out there with guns because the NRA and the gun lobby is a gun sales racket. Anyway, there was a good guy with a gun, an armed security guard, and there was an assailant who was going to shoot up a bar outside of Chicago, and the armed security guard subdued the shooter, had him on the ground. Armed security guard wearing a uniform with a hat, with an officer hat that said security on it. And the Midlothian Police Department rolls up and a cop pulls out a gun and shoots and kills the armed security guard, who was an African American, who had prevented other people from being murdered at the moment. And according to witnesses who were at the bar, as the cops pulled up, other patrons, people on the street, were screaming, security, security, identifying the security guard as not the perp, as not the bad guy with a gun. The cop shot him anyway, and Jamel Roberson, 26 years old, is dead. And the reason, of course, that that happened is because that cop most likely saw nothing but race. Didn't see a uniform, didn't see security badge, didn't see a hat with the fucking word security written on it. He saw a black guy in a bar outside of Chicago with a gun, doing his job, a gun he had a legal license to carry, and he executed him because that cop grew up in a culture that devalues black lives, that says black lives don't matter. For centuries, African Americans were enslaved, and white people told themselves and each other lies for centuries to justify slavery and to justify Jim Crow. And that lie, the central lie, was black people matter less, if at all. And so Black Lives Matter is pushing back against a culture that says that says black lives don't matter. It's a response to that. Gay experience, the black experience, they're not identical. They're not the same. Anytime you compare them, some people jump up to say that. I get it. Not that there is an overlap. There are gay black people out there who get it from both barrels, the anti-gay oppression, anti-black oppression. But you hear from straight people around gay pride, well, you don't see straight pride, do you? Yeah, you also don't see world religions that are centuries and millennia old telling straight people that they are sick and sinful and should be ashamed of themselves. You don't see families rejecting their straight children for being straight and shaming them for being straight and telling them there's something wrong with them for being straight. What gay pride says is, I take pride in this thing that I've been told, instructed to feel ashamed of and ashamed about. And I know there's nothing shameful about it. In fact, I am proud of it. I'm proud of myself. Gay people aren't proud of the fact that, you know, I'm not proud I can get a dick into my mouth. Any idiot can get a dick in his mouth. A limber person can get their own dick in their own mouth. What I'm proud of is that I'm out and gay and healthy and whole, and I could see through the lies that I was told about myself. That's what gay pride's about. Not that gay people are better than straight people. That we were told to be ashamed of ourselves, and we are not. We have nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, the opposite. That's what Black Lives Matter is about. Anybody should be able to understand that. Anybody who can wrap their heads around why there's a gay pride parade and not a straight pride parade should be able to wrap their heads around why there's a Black Lives Matter movement and not a White Lives Matter movement. Because white lives have never been devalued. Because white lives have always mattered and still matter in a way that black people's lives do not. That's what I have to say on the subject. You had asked my African-American listeners to please weigh in, and I want to second that. If there are African-Americans out there who might have some way of addressing this issue with clueless white people like the caller's parents, and you have some advice or perspective, if there's something that you've said that worked, that opened some idiot's eyes, that got through their thick fucking cracker-ass skulls, give us a call, 206-302-2064, and share.
Hello, Dan. I'm a 50-year-old hetero male living in Colorado. I have been married 18 years to my wife. Our sex life in the beginning was fun, adventurous, and exciting, and sex quickly became routine and less frequent to about 6 to 8 times a year. It got to the point where I was just thankful that we were having sex at all. We went to a couples therapist where I brought up the lack of intimacy, and the therapist suggested we incorporate toys into our sex life. After a few months, sex was still very infrequent. I decided to stop being the person who initiated sex. This resulted in our not having sex for 2 years. My wife then told me she wanted to have an open marriage to exclusively have sex with other people, including the female gender. She said I was welcome to seek out my own hookups and also encouraged me to seek professional sex workers if required. Our arrangement would be on a don't ask, don't tell basis. She'd do her thing discreetly on the side and I'd do mine. The overall message was she no longer wanted to have sex with me. I'm a fairly attractive person. I always try to be good, giving, and game, though now I am starting to question that. I asked her what was her issue. Was it size, technique, or even my gender? My wife could not or would not say specifically what my shortfalls were or what I could do to make things better, only that she was unsatisfied and sex with me caused her distress. I told her that I would not remain in a marriage without intimacy. However, I was willing to try an open marriage for a limited time of 1 year if it would help reignite our sex life together. If after the year there was no measurable improvement, I would end our marriage. I suggested we start out slow with intimacy and only kiss and cuddle until she became more comfortable with doing more. One evening after an enjoyable night out together, I suggested we make out with no sexual expectations. She reacted as if I invited her to eat dog shit. She reluctantly complied, but I couldn't enjoy myself because of her horrible initial reaction. I never asked or tried to kiss her romantically again. It has now been 6 months since our open marriage. I'm seeing my own therapist per my wife's request. She has stopped seeing her own therapist, refused to see a couple's therapist, and nothing has changed or improved between us. I don't take divorce lightly. We have 2 teenage kids, but I will not spend the rest of my life with someone who I cannot be intimate with. Dan, how do you read my situation? You talk about the price of admission of being in a relationship, but not being intimate with my wife is a deal breaker for me. I feel I'm being extremely generous giving her a hall pass. I have a pass too, but I only want to be with my wife. Am I being unreasonable?
I don't think you're being unreasonable. You're just being dense. It's time to read the writing on the Times Square ticker. She doesn't want to fuck you. You don't want to be married to someone who doesn't want to fuck you. So you need to end this marriage. I'm sorry to be just blunt about it, but your wife has told you in pretty scalding terms that she isn't interested in being intimate with you in the way that you require intimacy in your marriage. And so you're going to have to end this relationship. You are not willing, or so you say, to have a companionate marriage where you are partners and you live together and you parent together and you have separate romantic and sexual lives, interests, pursuits, other partners. That is not something that you're willing to do or settle for. Now, you were hoping, and I don't think this was a bad strategy on your part. You were hoping that if she got out there and got to fuck some other people, she might be interested in fucking you again. And that does happen. There's a lot of research that shows that a woman's interest in a committed partner falls off sooner and more sharply than a male's interest in a female partner. That tells us something about female sexuality that I don't think many people are comfortable confronting. It is often the case that a woman who is bored, a woman who has no sexual interest, who has zero libido, will go see a sex therapist, go see a researcher, go see a doctor, work on it, work on it, work on it, try, 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 nothing works, her libido is dead, her marriage ends, and then suddenly she wants to fuck people again. Seems to me that it's possible to not end the marriage, allow for some fucking of other people, and maybe revive the intimacy in the marriage, in the primary relationship. And that often happens. You hear from people, anecdotally, who've opened their relationships, and not only did they enjoy the sex with others, but suddenly they were enjoying sex with each other again. And it was passionate again. Hasn't been the case with your wife. It isn't that she was bored and she needed some freedom and autonomy and outside sexual affirmation to feel attractive and also then attracted to you again. She just doesn't want to fuck you. She is not attracted to you. She doesn't want to be intimate with you in any way. And I believe you when you say you're attractive. It doesn't mean that you're an ogre. It doesn't mean that you are repulsive, but you do repulse her. She finds you repulsive. That doesn't mean you are repulsive. There are people out there who don't, who won't find you repulsive. People out there who would want to be intimate with you. Go fuck some of them. Stop trying to get water out of a dry fucking well. And if you meant what you said, you don't want to be married to somebody that you do not have sexual or romantic intimacy with, then you don't want to be married to your wife. Not anymore. What should a woman wear? How about whatever the hell she wants? That's the idea behind Wild Fang. Wild Fang is a gender-smashing, unabashedly feminist fashion brand, and they are here to take down the patriarchy. They are female-founded, woman-run. Their clothes have great styles that borrow a little bit from the boys and look so sweet on their website. Their stuff has a cool vibe that many of you are going to love. The best-fitting button-ups ever, work wear that works for you. They even have a category dedicated to overalls, for Christ's sake. And not only are their clothes fantastic, but they truly give back. A percentage of every purchase goes to a charity or cause that I wholeheartedly support. They have raised $100,000 to save the last abortion clinic in South Dakota. They have raised $250,000 to support immigrant rights. So, this is the real deal, folks. Head over to wildfang.com. That's WILDFANG.com. And use the code SAVAGE to get 25% off. That's wildfang.com. Offer code SAVAGE.
Yes, I'm a 34-year-old gay male. Been out for years now. The question, though, is not about me. It's actually about my 15-year-old nephew. My 15-year-old nephew recently came out as bi. And he actually told me before he told his parents and telling his mom exactly. It was a bit of a surprise, kind of a shock, because whereas I was quite obvious, he was not quite obvious. And it came as a shock to kind of me, too, and also her. So there's that whole aspect of it. I'm trying to guide them both through the process, though, of him just trying to sort everything out that's going on with him, but also kind of trying to provide some advice to my sister, i.e. the mother, as well. And I'm kind of stuck in the middle as to what I need to do because, well, simply put, when I came out, it was a bit of a different time from the way it is now. I came out when I was 22. He's basically come out as bi at 15. And it's a little bit different of a culture now. And so I'm trying to figure out exactly what to do with him and what to do with her as well. So the changing culture, especially for those, for lack of better words, older gays, even though 34, I'm not really that much older than my nephew. I'm trying to get a sense of exactly how to navigate the paths that are associated with this. If you have any advice, it'd be greatly appreciated.
Be there for him. It's really not that hard. Offer him your love and your support. Tell him you're always there. Make sure he has your phone number. Make sure he has your email address. If there's anything he needs to ask you about, any advice that he wants, if he has questions about someone who's interested in him, if he has questions about at 15, dating and romance, be there. Answer those questions. It's really not that hard. I mean, you can refer him to Glisten. You can refer him to the Trevor Project, the It Gets Better Project. There's a lot out there online for young queer people. Resources that weren't available to you, old fart, and me, much older fart, when we were 15 years old and finding our way. Another thing we didn't have at 15 when we were finding our way, loving and supportive family. Young straight people, when they have their first relationships, when they begin to date, when they get their hearts broken the first time, they live at home with mom and dad and sometimes even with siblings who are there to offer support, comfort, advice. My sister, when she was 15 years old and dating some boy who told her that if she really loved him, she wouldn't make him wear a condom, was able to ask my mother about that. I think she was actually 17 years old when that came up. And my mother told her that that was bullshit and she should break up with the guy. You may need to be that person in his life. Some guy or some girl may tell him this is what love is. This is how people who are in love have sex or treat each other. And it could be bullshit. And he needs, because he doesn't have romance and sex bullshit detectors that are fully functional yet, he may need to bounce that off you. And you're at a safe remove. You're the uncle. You don't live with him. He doesn't have to look you in the eye every day. In fact, he can communicate with you without having to look you in the eye at all by emailing or texting with you. And so let him know that you're there. You're there to help him with any questions, any issues, and then do the download about safety. Do the download about porn. I'm sure if he's 15 years old and bi, and possibly gay, I'm glad you said it so I didn't have to say it, but there I said it. I came out as bi first before coming out as gay. Doesn't mean he's not bi. Doesn't mean that everybody who says they're bi is on their way to gay if they're dudes. And more young bi people are coming out who are actually bi and will be bi all their lives. And it's less of a transitional stage or step or identity than it used to be. But he's going to be having sex with guys. He's probably watched a lot of gay porn. They're not covering porn in his sex ed classes. They're certainly, even if they acknowledge porn in his sex ed classes, not covering gay porn. You don't want him to go into his first same-sex encounters or relationships with porn-pickled expectations. So tell him about gay sex in an appropriate way. Have a conversation, sort of a sex ed-y conversation about what he should expect. And then let him ask you questions. And then answer them. But love and support is what he really needs. And that's not a resource that you can direct him to. That is something that you and your sister can and should provide him with. That's what he asked you for when he came out to you. The holidays are the busiest time of the year, especially at the post office. Think of all the things you could be doing instead of waiting in line. With Stamps.com, you can get all your mailing done at your own domicile. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Post Office right to your desktop. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and your own printer. And then your U.S. Post Office mail carrier picks it up at your door. Print postage any day, anytime. Stamps.com not only saves you time, it saves you money. Stamps.com helps you print the right amount of postage every single time. You will never overpay again. With all the time and money you'll save, Stamps.com is the best gift you can give yourself this holiday season. And right now, you can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Savage. That's Stamps.com. Enter Savage.
Hi, Dan. I'm a cis queer woman from Los Angeles. I wanted to ask a question or ask you to talk a bit about negotiating the difference between female orgasm, vagina-bodied people, and non-vagina-bodied people and their orgasm in a sexual context. I recently had sex with someone, with a trans woman, who didn't make me come. And I initially expected them to help me come after they did. And they were totally disinterested and like got up to go to the bathroom as I was jacking off. And I was like, weird, and made a joke about it. And they kind of just like, eventually they said like, oh, just give up. And I was like, what do you like? Okay. And like got a little bit mad, and told them like that it was weird, but like, it's fine because it's the first time we're having sex and it's really late. Okay, whatever. But then this person ended up ghosting me, which is weird. Cause I try not to engage in, like one night stands, I guess, or like, I'm not that I'm like not a slut or something or whatever. I like to have sex with people I don't necessarily know, but I don't necessarily like don't communicate with them. I'm pretty used to communicating with my sexual partner. So basically I encountered this person who is a queer person. They're a trans woman who seems to have a lot of internalized misogyny. They, didn't respect my boundary, like they didn't make me come, and I don't know how to tell them. I mean, I do. I told them it's not cool to do that, but I guess this person, me and this person, I don't really care at this point. They're obviously a shitty person, but I think it would be interesting to hear your perspective on how to negotiate physical differences in people and what kind of responsibilities should be put on people who are not vagina bodied to think about like orgasm taking a longer time.
I think you are overthinking this. This isn't about the difference between vagina body people and non-vagina body people. I am a non-vagina bodied person. I have had sex with people. I've had sex with people where I came first. I didn't then leave the room. I didn't then knock their own dicks out of their own hands and tell them to give up. I soldiered on until I fulfilled my responsibility to them as a sex partner and ensured that they experienced as much pleasure as I experienced, if they wanted to experience pleasure in that moment. Not everybody who has sex is invested in every sexual encounter in climaxing themselves. That is something a partner can tell you. I don't want to get off. I want to get you off. And that can be legitimate. You have to roll with that. But what this person that you went to bed with, it's not a vagina body, non-vagina body issue. This is just an asshole issue. You went to bed with a selfish motherfucking piece of shit asshole who happens to be queer and trans and terrible. And displaying some cliche male piggish behavior. Now, women can behave in malish piggishness way. Now, women can behave in ways that are traditionally or stereotypically male, and men can behave in ways that are stereotypically or traditionally female or feminine. But, you know, a penis having person getting their orgasm and then wandering out of the room and not being invested in their partner's pleasure. You hear that from straight women a lot about straight men. Just saying. That said, I have experienced that myself at the hands of gay men, and I've heard from some straight men, many, 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 many fewer, who've experienced the same from straight women. I think that, however, happens very, very rarely. You wonder what to do about this? Nothing. You should thank your lucky stars that this piece of shit ghosted on you, that they removed themselves from your life. The fact that this non-vagina-bodied person removed their non-vagina-bodied self from your life is a favor that non-vagina-bodied person did you. And yeah, what an asshole. Glad you spoke up for yourself in the moment. They outed themselves in that moment as not just queer and trans, but piece of shit you never wanted to fuck ever again in your entire life. And congratulations, Yahtzee, you never have to fuck that piece of shit ever again in your whole fucking life. Look, I don't mean to pry, but don't you think you could have better underpants? Your underpants probably aren't silky enough. They aren't covered in delightful patterns. Not unless you are already wearing me undies. MeUndies uses the coveted micromodal fabric, which is 3 times softer than cotton. If you have never felt this fabric, get ready to feel some sweet underwear feelings the first time you pull a pair on. You can also get a style that is perfectly suited for you. Men and women can each choose from 4 different cuts, all of which are available from classic colors to adventurous prints. Nancy and her daughters fight over who gets to wear the kissing mouth print. Terry likes his G.I. Joes, and I, because I am boring, am a solid color guy myself. And everybody knows the gift of underpants is truly the greatest gift of all. But why stop at undies? This year, MeUndies is launching their holiday prints in lounge pants and onesies as well. Both are made from the same micromodal fabric as their undies. Once you pull on one of their onesies, you won't be leaving the house for the entire holiday season. Trust me, myself, I'm in love with my MeUndies lounge pants. They are so effing comfortable. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. Order by 12/16, by December 16th, for free shipping in time for Christmas, and get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever pull on. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/savage. That's MeUndies.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. This is early 20s female pansexual. I recently met a guy. We immediately hit it off and we're really attracted to each other. He's 39. He's a little bit older, but I don't really mind to always date people. So I mentioned him to my very good friend and also housemate. I live with her as well. And we found out that she actually hooked up with him about 5 or 6 years ago. She said he was really sweet. He was a great lover. And she said, you know, go for it. You can see him. Like, we can be Eskimo sisters. And I kind of played it off like, oh, he's, you know, too old for me. I'm not going to go for it. But we kept messaging and flirting a lot. And I saw him last night and we fucked and it was amazing. And he's great. He's super sweet. And it was very clear we wanted to see each other again. But I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should tell my very close friend and housemate. I don't want it to get weird. And I don't know if and when I should tell him that he has previously hooked up with my good friend and housemate. So I don't know what to do. I really want to keep seeing him. But I don't know, should I just compartmentalize these two relationships? I'm not sure.
Straight people are so weird. The way you guys weird out about, oh, you're fucking somebody that somebody you know fucked once upon a time, 5 fucking years ago. We don't have the luxury of weirding out about that kind of crap in Gayland because there are fewer of us. Many, many, many fewer of us. So the odds that my boyfriend fucked your boyfriend or my boyfriend fucked my best friend once upon a time or are really high just from the dating and sex churn. So this is a non-issue in Gayland. You go to the guy and say, oh, here's a funny thing. You know, 5 years ago, you fucked my roommate and she thought you were a great guy. You know, I mentioned you. She figured out who it was and she vouched for you. So I'm happy to keep dating and seeing you. People you fucked 5 years ago and it ended aren't mad at you. That's a really good sign. Come on over. Eat my pussy. How hard is that? What are you afraid of? What's the reaction going to be on his part? Is he going to be weirded out? Does he only want to stick his dick in people who don't know anybody else he's ever stuck his dick in ever in his life? Well, in straight land, you might have that luxury, particularly if you move around the country a lot. You have that luxury of never fucking anybody who knows anybody else you've ever fucked. In gay land, you don't have that luxury. And so we deal with this all the time. It's a non-issue. So tell him. You don't have to compartmentalize. You don't have to keep these two human beings in separate silos. You don't have to end up having some sort of French farce in your apartment where you're trying to keep them away from each other and they're running in one room and out the other room. No. Just go fucking tell him. Ha ha, small world. Guess what? You fucked my roommate. She thought you were a good guy. I'd like to keep fucking you. You win. No problem. No problem at all. There's not a problem here.
Hey, Dan. I am a 30-something married gay male, and I've been with my husband for about 10 years. We have a great relationship and a wonderful sex life. But I did have a question for you. About a year and a half ago, we'd been managing a Tumblr and just reblogging things that we found interesting, and we both realized and were able to talk about the fact that we liked some of the porn that was on there. And so we had a lot of really good discussions and eventually started keeping up a porn blog of things that we found sexy and entertaining, and had a bunch of really good discussions about our needs or wants, our desires and things like that. And one of the things that we had always discussed is potentially adding a third into our relationship. It's something that we thought would be very fun and sexy. However, it was always discussed in kind of a conceptual way. We're working parents and we have kids that are under 5. And so we always thought that the effort that it would take to eventually find one would be just a lot of work, and it probably wouldn't be as exhilarating as it would be, for the work. So, however, we recently kind of branched out and started following some people on Snapchat and have had good experiences, seeing people on there and sharing ourselves and getting some validation that way. It's definitely contributed and helped us feel a lot sexier. However, we recently found that one of the people that's on Snapchat is in our area, and he's really sexy, and we both are chatting with him and sending him stuff back and forth, and he's really anxious to actually meet us. We never thought that we would find someone so quickly or in this way. It kind of just landed in our laps. He really wants us to fuck him, and we really want to fuck him, but the one thing that we don't want to do is fuck up our marriage. So we've explained the fact that we want to do a little bit of research to avoid any pitfalls, so that way we don't end up hurting him or hurting our relationship. So I was wondering, Dan, this is where you come in. I know that you've recommended some literature, but do you have a quick and dirty guide on how to add a third to a relationship? You know, is there like a YouTube guide or a checklist somewhere? That would be lovely. And in addition, do you have any recommendations for parents that are doing this other than the usual hoops that you have to jump through to have uninterrupted sex with your spouse?
Slow your roll there, horny dad. You're asking me about adding a third when all that's on the table here or the mattress here, all that's on offer is a three-way. You haven't even met this guy yet. You're not adding a third to your relationship. You and your husband are going to go have a sexual adventure together, and you're going to do it in such a way that's responsible and that protects your kids. You're going to do it in a hotel. You're going to do it when your kid is off at grandma and grandpa's house, and you're going to do your best to vet this person in advance, particularly if you're going to bring them into your home, because the last thing you want is to bring somebody into your home who then turns up at your home a couple of days later banging on the front door. So continue to chat with this guy on Snapchat, find out what he's interested in, and be really clear about what's on offer here. You're a couple, you have kids under five, you're not emotionally or sexually going to be available to him like a single person would without kids, or like a couple without kids might be, if you guys are indeed interested in adding, as I've always liked to call them, a very special guest star to your relationship. You know, it is possible for gay people, even gay parents, to have a lot of one-off sex with randos, have a lot of anonymous sex. Grindr works for us too. I've always felt it's better to have sex with somebody that you've gotten to know and trust, to have that regular very special guest star, to have that regular third, to really make an investment in someone. And that's a relationship. And it is possible to have those sorts of relationships. It is possible, even as parents, to have those sorts of relationships. And it's not just gay parents who have those sorts of relationships. There are a lot of straight parents out there who may appear to be monogamous. They may be socially monogamous, but not sexually monogamous. And they may have a very special guest star of their own who makes regular appearances between their legs. But here's the thing. You know that you're sane. You know that your husband's sane. You know that your kids are safe with you. If you're going to bring somebody else into your relationship, if indeed the long-term goal here is to add a third, you're adding a third quasi-parental figure into the lives of your children. You're introducing a third quasi-parental figure into the lives of your children, and you're going to want to really make damn sure that this is someone that your kids will be safe around, will be respected by, and who will respect your role as parents in this child's life, and really their secondary role in your family. They can come into your family, become a part of your family, but the core is still going to be the two of you, the legal parents, who are responsible for the safety and well-being of these children. And the children will always be the top priority. Make that clear. There may be some guys out there who that's exactly what they want. They don't want kids of their own, but they'd like to be kid adjacent. They don't want to be someone's primary partner. They want their freedom and their downtime, but they want to feel like they're a part of some larger, loosely knit queer family. And you can give that to someone, but you have to make sure that the person that you're giving that to, that's what they want, that they don't want more than that. They don't want more than you can give them, because that won't be a recipe for adding a third success. Backing way the hell up, though, you're not at the adding a third stage of this conversation with this person on Snapchat that you have never actually met in person. Have that three-way first before you start talking about adding a third. See how that goes. It sounds like you guys have never had sex together with anyone else. It sounds like you guys have been monogamous for the last 10 years. Who knows how you'll react to seeing your husband with another man, or how your husband will react to seeing you with another man. It may be that the reality of having sex together with another person doesn't match the fantasy. The reality may not be the turn-on that the fantasy is, and you may find that this isn't for you. That sometimes does happen. So right now you need to keep your options open. Right now you need to chill the fuck out about this. Right now you need to find that weekend when your parents or your husband's parents, when their grandparents can come to town so you guys can book a hotel room and fuck the shit out of this guy from Snapchat. And then see where that relationship goes.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 33-year-old cisgendered, mostly heterosexual female in a little blue dot in a big red area in Texas. My question is concerning my boyfriend and I of almost 3.5 years. We have a great sex life and a great relationship. And recently he's expressed to me that he really wants me to swallow his cum either after giving him head. Another request that he has is that maybe we're having sex or having other play other than me giving him a blowjob. And then we return to the blowjob, and that's how he finishes. So even if it's like PIV to like
have me go down on him just before he's about to come and finish him off that way. And a big request is that I swallow the cum, which I've only done a few times in my life. And I know I want to be really adventurous, and I am all about being GGG, but for some reason, having cum in my mouth and swallowing it is really hard for me. I have a long history of really severe IBS, and every time I've swallowed cum, I immediately am triggered to vomit, and I end up running to the bathroom and vomiting. And I'm embarrassed because I want to be like awesome, but for some reason I can't seem to overcome this, and I really want to be able to do this for him because I know that it would be really hot and he'd really enjoy it, and I love him and I want to make him feel good. So help me out. How do I get better at swallowing cum? Okay, thanks.
There are people out there who have terrible allergic reactions to semen. Often it's partner specific. One person's semen won't irritate them at all. Another person's semen will make them nauseous, will give them almost instant onset diarrhea, stomach aches, even in some cases, vomiting. Vomiting, however, isn't related to IBS. It's not a symptom of IBS. Vomiting isn't. And so I don't know how that's related, but if you just generally have gut issues and you are quick to become nauseous and you also have IBS, this may be a hard limit for you if you're not willing to throw up every time your boyfriend ejaculates in your mouth and you have to swallow his cum to please him. This may not be something that you're physically capable of doing for him. So the price of admission to be with you, if indeed he wants to be with you, is having to forego this specific act. Now, I've always felt that the blowjob is over after you've come, and the person who gave the blowjob is free to dispose of the semen in any way that they choose. Emission accomplished. They don't have to continue to perform the blowjob. They can let it run out of the sides of their mouth and down the dick. They can spit it out. They can swallow it. They can put it in a jar and spread it on toast. It's theirs. They earned it. It's their cum to dispose of. Now, I know that there are some people out there who are really erotically invested in their powerful magic semen being ingested by their partner and feeling connected to their partner or served by their partner in that way. And that is, of course, legitimate. But again, it is extra credit. It is the icing on the blowjob cake. And you, in particular, it's not just about you don't like the taste. It's not just you feel odd doing it or weird doing it, or there's something that feels degrading about doing it, and therefore you don't want to do it. It literally makes you sick. And therefore, you get a pass. You do not have to do this. All that said, if his pleasure means this much to you, and you want to take one for the team every once in a very great while, I wouldn't knock the dick out of your mouth if you were willing to swallow a load and immediately after go throw it up. But that would be your choice, and that would be a gift you were giving him, not something that he has any right to expect.
Hi, Dan. I'm calling in response to today's episode, December 4th, specifically in response to the caller whose ex-husband was her former therapist. Caller, I guess I wanted to emphasize, I feel like Dan's response wasn't vehement enough. What your ex-husband chose to do by first expressing his returned love for you and then acting upon it was so much more than just a failure. For one thing, your feelings of love for him are very common. It's called erotic transference, and therapists and social workers actually get trained in how to handle that experience with patients. And they also get trained in how to deal with transference from their own end. When you were his patient at 19, he had a professional responsibility to maintain boundaries. And if he felt he was unable to effectively do that as a result of his feelings, he should have referred you elsewhere and never, ever acted upon those feelings. He took advantage of your vulnerability and his power as your therapist, someone you trusted and I imagine looked up to and confided deeply in. That was his error, and nothing that you should be ashamed of or feel the need to minimize. Additionally, his friends should have reported him to the licensure, like social work board within his state, and he would have lost his license immediately. Please be kind to yourself. You were young and vulnerable, and this was his fault, not yours. And I promise that there are tons of amazing, truly professional therapists out there who maintain appropriate boundaries. And it's so possible for you to find someone to help you heal from this experience in a healthy way.
Hi, Dan. This is a response to the guy in episode 632 who was upset that his wife was masturbating and squirting without him. I agree with everything that Dan said, but I want to go a little further here. As a woman listening to your comment, the male entitlement that is just dripping from your voice is frankly appalling. I'm like literally seething sitting here listening. You need to apologize to your wife, but moreover, you need to do some really deep soul searching here because you are making some offensive assumptions. You do not own your wife. You do not own her sexuality. And she has the absolute right to masturbate however she wants without your consent, your approval, your knowledge. The attitude that you have that your wife owes you this experience just because it's your fantasy is the same attitude that men have used throughout history to justify misogyny, violence against women, and rape culture. So yeah, like Dan said, apologize to your wife profusely, but then make a commitment to examine what makes you feel so entitled. Once you've done the work and committed to changing your attitudes and accept your apology, maybe you can come back to this.
And we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you'd like to record a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz. 206-302-2064. Sorry I didn't read your tweets this week, but I am on vacation. If you want us to read your tweets on an upcoming show, be sure to use the hashtag Savage Lovecast. Give the gift of the Savage Lovecast to folks you know who love the show but only listen to the micro-free edition of the Savage Lovecast. You can gift the subscription edition, the magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast to your friends and family. Just go to savagelovecast.com and click on the gray box that says gift. The magnum is twice as much Savage Lovecast with no ads. And you can listen to me every week on Blabbermouth, the Stranger's Weekly Politics podcast, hosted by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Eli Sanders. Follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage. Follow Dr. James Cantor on Twitter at JamesCantorPhD. Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech-savvy at-risk youth and Nancy. We'll all be back at you next week. Another installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for downloading.